I think we're good.
All right, cool. I was just talking about the anti-war or pro-peace rally. Alu and I were both there, Bonnie. We had flyers. We hit up everybody at the rally, and then there was a subsequent rally that was like kind of like the freedom, trucker freedom kind of folks, more of the right wing. And you know, they're always interested in secession, and the anti-war crowd was interested in independence as well. So successful outreach. Bonnie and I did some recording of some man on the street interviews. We've been talking to people at events. There hasn't been one that we've been to meaningfully since November. So we're getting back out there now, and just kind of getting people's thoughts about independence, asking them the same three questions. What is it that? The questions are. What is it that would be a benefit to you when we leave? And there's what is the most egregious thing the federal government has done? And then there's a third one that is escaping me at the moment. But that went pretty well. Unfortunately, we weren't able to be there for more than a couple hours because Bonnie had to get to work, but it was good. I understand more people showed up at the right wing thing a little bit later on, so I presume Alu stuck around. It looked like he was going to stick around, so I'm sure we got everybody with flyers yesterday, so that went well. There was some talk further. Alu brought up the idea of a PAC, Political Action Committee, which. You know, it's easy to talk about doing that, but finding somebody that actually wants to be a treasurer for an organization like that, that's the job that no one really wants. You know, it's fun to do the outreach and the supporting of the candidates and all that, but then you've got to file a bunch of damn reports with the New Hampshire state government, and that gets complicated. It's not a huge burden, but it's just one of those things where there's a bunch of deadlines and you got to keep track of when they are. And I guess if there's over I think if you spend over $500 or receive more than a couple hundred or $500 from somebody, you have to report it within 48 hours. So it's not even just that there's specific reporting deadlines, because there is that, you know, however often they are, I don't recall, but there's, you know, some number of them during the year. And then just every time you get a large-ish donation, you have to tell the state, like, immediately, which is ridiculous. So I think that's going to be probably a hold-up for potentially forming an organization like that, just because I don't know anyone who relishes doing that kind of work for the state. But it is a good idea to have like an independence pack. Further, there was talk about the independence caucus, but we don't have any state reps on the call today, so don't know what the status of potentially forming that is. But obviously, those of us who aren't state reps like the idea. So the question is, what do the reps think? I know Matt Sanfinistasso brought it up last week. So if he's for it, then maybe he can sway some of the 13 people, our 13 heroes, and maybe they'll form one, which would be pretty awesome. Let's see, that's kind of like what I got on the top of my head. Anybody else working on anything or heard any news?
Any comments on that article in the Laconia Daily?
Which one was this? I may not have read this one yet.
Got it up here a minute ago. It's from a couple of days ago, about free staters, whether they're good for the Republican Party, bad for the Republican Party.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you read it, right?
In my show prep, I will say this: the 15 Republicans who won the primary in 2020 just this week received their invitation to the Republican convention in state. So they get the state convention that happens once every 2 years. And any Republican who wins the state primary, so even if they don't win the general election, they are sort of quote-unquote elected as a Republican state delegate. And so they get to go to that committee. So Matt Roach, Aria DiMezzo, those are two from Keene that will be attending that. Did Bob run that election, Penguin? Did he make it through the primary, or was that the one he bowed out of? I don't recall whether he was on the ballot.
He got a card, I think. I don't know. Was it only people who are able to go? Is it only them who got cards, or did like everybody get cards?
Only those who are able to attend. That was
okay. So then he did get a card. Yeah.
He should talk to Aria and Matt Roach. I know Aria and Matt Roach might be doing a carpool, so
okay,
might make it for him to get out there.
Do you know what the date is for that?
I think it was April 23rd. But that might be something that we could do is maybe, and I don't know anything about how the process out there works. I know there have been free staters who've been attending that thing for years, and they've been slowly working on kind of taking over the Republican Party. So this will be the first time that any free staters from Keene are able to attend this, and we've got three of them going. So, you know, that might help tip the balance on some of the issues that, you know, usually the normal conservative types wouldn't support, like ending the war on drugs or whatever. So it should be interesting to see how it plays out, but maybe independence could be brought up. You know, maybe that could be something that somebody could bring to the floor and say they want to put in something into the, you know, it's a political convention, so inevitably they're going to look at the bylaws, inevitably they're going to look at the party platform. And the Free Staters have, of course, been fighting over the party platform in there for a while. So that might be something to where they could insert a secession, you know, some sort of pro-independence statement into the party platform. Now, I mean, the odds are they're not going to have the support for it, but it would be one of those things where we could take the temperature of the room and see just how much support there is and, you know, possibly make some news headlines just because of the, by virtue of the fact that it got discussed.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, we actually had a decent chance at taking over or something that if we have more people going.
Yeah, I think we do. I don't, like I said, I've never been. No one from this area has ever attended. So this will help, right, having three more freedom lovers going there. That'll help the numbers.
Yeah,
I don't know how close they are to 50%. I know they're a large influence, but I don't know if they're big enough just yet. And that'll be something that Aria and the rest of them will have to assess, you know, when they're there. But people like Carla and, you know, Jason Osborne and the usual Republican crew, you know, the Liberty reps types will certainly be in attendance.
Well, I put it on my calendar. Maybe I'll try and already talked to Bob a little bit about it, and I'm sure he doesn't want to go, but maybe we can talk him into it. So,
I wonder how heavy the security is. I wonder if you could go and just be Bob.
I don't know if that's such a great idea.
Or are they just gonna, you know, or do they just have a list of names and then when you walk up you say I'm Bob Call and here you are, check you off and let you in.
I mean, the other problem is there's probably people there, quite a few of them who would recognize me, so
yeah, that's a good point.
Ian, I'm curious, you mentioned Jason Osborne. Was he in any way pro secession?
No, I spoke with him outside of the chamber the day that they had the vote, and he said, his objection was that he doesn't believe people support it, and I said, well, you know, I've talked to people out at various different events, and they've been very supportive, and he says, oh, well, those are the activists, they support it, but the average person in New Hampshire doesn't support it. So, I mean, whether or not he personally supports it, he claimed that he believes that New Hampshire should lead America, and he wants to see California secede, but not New Hampshire, which I was really surprised to hear him say those things, because Jason Osborne has, to my mind, always been a very principled anarchist. So it sounds to me like he's really playing the game and really just wants to, you know, be in with the Republicans, which that's, I guess, how he got to the level that he is as the House leader or the majority leader. So that was disappointing.
Yeah, what I call activists becoming legislators and what happens to them. I'm curious because I haven't gotten hundreds of phone calls for him about helping California leave the union. Must have lost my number because we could use his help.
Yeah. He's kind of...
Well, you know, he's probably calling me the same time that Jason Sorens is, so probably they get a busy signal.
Yeah, he's... I heard that Sorens wouldn't even attend Liberty Forum because there was no masks, I guess. That's the rumor that was going around.
Yeah, just because I heard that he was in favor of other states seceding, just not New Hampshire. Is that true?
I don't know about Sorens, but that's what Osborne's position was.
Yep. So if you want to get back to that article, I don't know. I'm not sure I knew everybody quoted in there. What was that lady, Leroy? Who's Leroy?
I don't know. Is it state rep, maybe?
One second. Not sure. It doesn't ring a bell.
I will get you her name in a second. Nancy Leroy, local Republican Nancy Leroy. She was quoted as kind of talking down on the Free Staters.
Maybe she's just a local Republican. I missed the last sentence because my speaker turned off accidentally. What did you just say?
I mean, she was talking down the Free Staters in the article, so I was wondering if anybody knew who she was.
And it described her as a local Republican?
That's what it says. Yeah.
This was out of where? Which town?
That's the Laconia Daily Sun article. Mm-hmm. She's from, one second. Doesn't say, just says local Republican Nancy Leroy.
Yeah, maybe she's a party leader in the area or just one of the flock. I don't know. Was she the person who wrote the letter?
No, she's being, it's not a letter, it's an article. John Decker wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Who are the Free Staters? It's not a bad article. And then they quote this gentleman, who's Aubrey Friedman?
Cool, yeah, I think I marked that for show prep, but I haven't taken the time to actually read.
Among the attendees was Aubrey Friedman, a Free Stater who moved from what he calls the People's Republic of San Francisco in 2018. But then it says, as for the concept of secession, Friedman said he would have voted to support it in principle, but that secession, quote, would never stand a chance in a million years of passing, citing the fact that older people would lose their social security and by extension their interest in independence, and that the United States would not honor such a motion. The powers that be are not going to allow that to happen. Even if New Hampshire voted 100% for secession, they're not going to allow it. So I don't think there's been any planning to work out the details because it's not in the cards. First of all, he must have listened to Laser too much. Second of all, he contradicts himself several times in what he said. But again, it's interesting that people supposedly on the pro-secession side are still worried about Social Security.
That's a shame.
You know, we need for the next time around is the title of the document. When we should hand out a document again, just like we did this time around, but it needs to be titled at the top "The Plan," and then have like a plan just for the sake of, because they keep saying we don't have a plan. Well, if we have a document that says "The Plan" at the top, you know, we're handing them out. It's a little hard to argue we don't have a plan.
That is a cute idea.
Has there ever been any contact? I just sent a website in the chat. This is a website here from the state of São Paulo. I'm in the state of Minas Gerais, Belo Horizonte. But this is a website that I've been in contact with briefly in São Paulo. And they mentioned New Hampshire on their website. Has there been any kind of interaction or any attempt to align, to partner up with, these movements type, here in Brazil? Because São Paulo is the richest state in the, in the Brazilian continental unit. Most of the greatest, businessmen and, whatever are there. It's not quite the hub of entertainment with like Rio de Janeiro, but of course the entertainment industry is completely leftist. But has there ever been any attempt to partner up and try to help each other?
I mean, how, in what way?
Well, in the sense of business interests. I mean, the objective goal is the same, right? And from a perspective that I have of this idea, this is an American ideal. It's not limited to the United States. Brazil is America. It's the southern part of America. It's an American ideal.
I mean, we've been talking to Texas exit and California exit, so sort of similar.
No, exactly. But more outreach, more, in the sense of, because the ideal's the same, I would imagine, right? I mean, they all understand that they want to be separate. Well, in the United States, we historically are, whereas Brazil has never been separate. They've never been separate countries.
I wonder if there's like some sort of like conference of independent states or wannabe independent states. That would be
exactly,
interesting.
Exactly, but this is now... Rabbi Steve knows about this. Alu knows about this. His son, I've mentioned this. I don't know if Ian knows about this because I guess we've never been on a meeting before. But I've been trying to get my project, which is the TV series Liberty, which is meant to be a forum. I've been trying to do this for like 4 years now, and I've been trying to find sponsorship here in Brazil, in the United States. I actually recently did get in contact with I think the chief executive producer at a production company called Buffalo 8, Nikki Justice. And she's interested in the idea, in distributing the idea. But of course, the idea has not been, made flesh and bone yet, because I'm just an actor, right? I'm not a producer, I don't have the money, whatever. But this project that I've been trying to get off the ground, I felt from the beginning would be a great vehicle to promote this. Exactly. Could we not create this conference, this meeting of independent state efforts, independent country efforts, and promote them through this vehicle? Again, São Paulo's got is the richest state in the country of Brazil. There are a lot of, now I don't know how many of them are libertarian. That could be a big problem right there, because maybe they don't want their money connected to that. I don't know. But I know here in Minas Gerais, there's a guy I've been trying to get involved, Salim Mata. He's one of, not the richest, but certainly one of the richest people here in Minas Gerais, because he owns one of the owners of Localiza, which is a rental car company that's national. And so that's kind of what I've been trying to figure out, how to work with people to kind of do, to promote, because maybe a pack is too much within the system. That's my personal feeling, is that you can't work within the system. The system is so bad that it's not, you can't work within it. I mean, I know we have to, we're limited. I understand the practicality of it. We have to a certain extent. But something like an independent TV series that was distributed throughout the Americas might be a vehicle to get more interest from people who might have this mindset, maybe, but are too scared to try and do anything about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. And going further than that, it would be interesting if there was somebody with the expertise, so to speak, on... consultant, I guess, and not that I'm necessarily big on consultants, but consultant on like what's the process for becoming an independent state. There are certainly countries or states that have become independent, over the decades here. How did they go about it? Right.
That's a good point. That's a good point that you're making, though. Is like, what's the process? Well, okay, you could argue that there technically is no process. This is kind of where I have a personal problem with oh, we need to get the permission. We need to go. Why? Okay, practically I understand. But I have this conflict, right? Because when the US didn't ask for permission from England, they just said, F you, we're leaving. You know,
yeah,
so,
what you're saying, I've pointed out repeatedly, you know, we're going through the legal processes here, but that's kind of like in response to people saying, well, it's illegal, but at the same token, no, we're actually going through the legal processes exactly because you're gonna make that claim. But at the same time, you know, this country was founded on, you know, something that was illegal, which was a Declaration of Independence from England. So, yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Well,
it makes no sense.
The southern states did everything well. They did everything by the book, so to speak. And look what happened.
Yeah, and it's interesting because during the Civil War, what they did was technically illegal and unconstitutional. Not the South. I'm talking about the North. So
exactly, the North.
The North violated the Constitution.
Exactly.
In the process of like combining the two, you know, the
exactly.
two. So
the Southern states were the high road. The Southern states were the most intelligent. The Southern states were acting most constitutionally.
Yeah, basically the North and the Supreme Court basically kind of, they ignored it, or I'm trying to think what happened. They kind of just ignored it or something, I think.
Yes.
And it's like, it was so blatantly unconstitutional.
Yes.
Constitutional. I can't even remember exactly what it was or like what they did, but it was something like they didn't get the vote of all 50 states, but they were saying simultaneously that like, I think it was something
it.
Like, like, you have to have all 50 states vote, but they didn't have all 50 states vote, therefore, it's not what they decided wasn't constitutional or something. And so it's like, well, hold on, if they're part of the United States, if you're telling me that they're still part of the United States and they can't leave, then you have to have, as a side effect, you have to have all 50 states vote on, you know, on that constitutional amendment. And if you didn't have that, then that constitutional amendment isn't valid. So
yes. Well, and it just goes back to this, we've been polluted, so polluted. I mean, it took me a while to figure this out too. I want to go back to the time when it was the United States are. Now we have the United States is. That's wrong. It should never be the United States is. It's always been historically the United States are. That's what everybody understood when they ratified the Constitution. Otherwise they wouldn't have ratified it.
Just for the record, our approach here in New Hampshire has not been to ask for permission. Our approach here has been to use the system insofar as to find out what people think and put forward a very principled statement of, we are leaving. We're not asking. We're not considering. If people were to have voted on that constitutional amendment, it would have been a declaration of independence and a saying of goodbye. But we are using the system, you know, to the extent of actually trying to get people to come on board with this. So we
which is logical and intelligent, and I support that. I wholeheartedly support that.
We're using New Hampshire's legal processes, not the United States' legal processes,
right.
Effectively.
Well,
there is
a process in the United States because it's not in the Constitution.
Right, which is delegated to the states. Therefore,
well,
we're doing it correctly.
But it's not in the Constitution because everybody already understood that they had the right to leave whenever they wanted.
Correct. That's right. Well, apparently everyone doesn't understand that.
It was never a question.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because they already reformed what was the United States, right? I mean, they went. I'm trying to think what the correct history and terminology is, but we went from one government, right, of independent states to a. I mean, effectively, sort of a national government, or I don't know how to describe it. But they ignored what they had done before. They'd already set up a government, a national government, sort of, that was more diverse and more separate, and each more were like individual countries. And then 13 years later, they were like, oh, this isn't working. And so they just kind of ignored everything they did and started all over again. It's like, wait a minute, totally ignoring what they did.
This is kind of connected to this. We are, everybody understands the United States is. That's wrong. That mentality is wrong. I should not say that I'm from the United States. I should say I'm from Washington, which coincidentally happens to be from one of the United States. Right? And that mentality's been lost. And I want to get that back. You know, that's what needs, people don't understand. It's the United States are every, and it should be even more. This, you know, Hans Hermann Hoppe, like 1,000 Liechtensteins. The more we have of this, the better. You know, and Brazil's never had that. Brazil's never, historically never had that. They've tried a couple of times, but that's what I want to try to. And now, actually, there is a movement, which I might have told Rabbi Stephen about it, and I certainly told Alu about it when I talked to him, but this idea of Constituição Libertadora. It's a new constitution, because Brazil has had, I don't know, 7 or 8, I don't know, I can't even remember how many constitutions they've had. And there is a guy who I learned, okay, his name is Luiz Felipe de Orleans Bragança. He happens to be, coincidentally, a direct descendant of Dom Pedro the First and Dom Pedro II, the emperor. And so he's one of the primary writers of this new constitution. And he pretty much agreed. He and his, you know, I've talked to them, I've been in, you know, lives with them, whatever. And he's pretty much after this same thing. He agrees that this Constituição Libertadora is it's a type of secession. You're seceding from the old constitution and acceding to a new constitution. And so I'm trying to promote this. And all of these, I personally feel that something like my TV series, again, I'm not saying mine's the best answer, but something like a TV series that shows these types of movements, that a document, you know, a docu-reality show that shows these, that features the minds behind them, that really gets people to understand that, look, this is an American thing. It's not just the United States. I mean, hell, it's even, you know, I guess in Europe, I guess Catalonia was trying to do it in Spain, right, to separate. But it's certainly an American ideal and idea. And that might be a way to reach the average Joe, right? Because most people, but they're very connected to Netflix and Amazon and things like this. So it seems like a natural vehicle to get that out there, to get that message out there. I just don't see anything necessarily better than that. I mean, what's happening is good. I'm not saying nothing that's being done is bad. I'm not saying that what, you know, these movements are bad. They're not bad. They're necessary.
It would be super interesting to see some sort of TV series or a movie or something just kind of going over, you know, the different independence movements and how they came about. And
what I see is, like, you know, there was Matthew McConaughey starred in a movie called Jefferson State, I think, a few years ago. And there's a lot of historical stuff, maybe. I'm subscribing to production company here, Brasil Paralelo, which does a lot of good content, very good historical content. And they promote, I'm trying to get them to, you know, to partner me with my series too, because they promote the historical aspect. All these things are historical, and it's great to learn. I love learning all these things. I'm learning so much. But very few, if anybody, tells us what goes next. You know, they all stop at the same point. Right? There's either this category of dystopian and everybody, you know, theorizes blah, 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 and that's great entertainment. Or they do this historical up to a point. But nobody's talking about, well, no, this is what could happen or should happen next.
Yeah, not...
I don't know if you guys...
Not every movement has been, you know, a violent revolution. Some of them have been peaceful. So, you know, it doesn't have to go down like, you know, the Civil War in the United States. I believe, was it Estonia? I think Dave always is talking about how they, you know, nobody thought it was coming. And then the next day it was all of a sudden, I think one person died or something like that during, you know, their independence. So from the Soviet Union. Right. So it's not like it's impossible. It's just, unfortunately, frequently it does go down badly, but that isn't always the case. I mean, look at Canada with Quebec. You know, they've done peaceful independence, you know, referendums. And the UK, I mean, they weren't quite, I mean, as part of the European, they separated anyway. I guess everybody considered, because it was such a short time between the creation of the European Union and independence, it didn't quite make it to a point where everybody thought of Europe as a country. But in theory, that's kind of what the United States was supposed to be. So it shouldn't have been a problem for us to leave either, just like UK left the Europe. Or the Union, anyway.
Right. Yeah, well, and it's funny because I know I've discovered this website that I sent in the chat, freesociety.com, about 2019, a couple of years. Actually, no, was it about 2019. And I've talked to Roger Ver, who's one of the guys, but one of the primary, I guess, funders behind it. But it's this type of movement that I would like to feature, but in a TV series. And it's funny to me because this freesociety.com apparently has been around for like, you know, 4 or 5 years, but they haven't done anything, I guess. And so what I'm trying to say, I guess, is I basically feel like there are all these different, you know, disjointed movements and, you know, all these ideas and whatever, but very few people are truly coming together to get people like Tom Woods and Roger Ver and, you know, I don't know, Dave Smith, you know, to really, I mean, yeah, they, some, you know, documentaries have featured them and, you know, talked about their thoughts and, you know, their ideas, but nothing really moving forward or proposing what could be. Right? It's always historical. So I was like, this is how it happened. This is why it happened. This is why it's failed. Okay, but what about what it could be, what it should be, and why? This is what I feel personally like is missing from pretty much everything that's going on. And I would like to do what little I can to try to get these people, these ideas, you know, in one place that an average Joe can sit down and digest in a series. I mean, that's kind of why.
The problem with the libertarian movement is it's full of a bunch of thinkers. You know, Bonnie was just saying that there are some people, Bob Murphy, for instance, did write up a paper about Texas independence. So at least he's thinking in the right direction. But a lot of these guys, they just talk about freedom and they don't actually have any chance to move things forward because they don't live in New Hampshire. Although that said, you mentioned Tom Woods. I heard a rumor that apparently Carla Garrick from the Free State Project was on his show this week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they talked about independence on that episode at all, but she is involved in the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, so I would hope that it came up, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine, because Tom Woods has written the book Nullification. He's described himself as an anarcho-capitalist. He's very much in favor of secession. He sent out an email, which I've quoted a few times, that I've included in a text of mine on January 7th after the whole January 6th. You know, in favor of secession. So, yeah, he's very much in favor of that. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'm like so many other people, you're just maybe frustrated with what you see. You don't know quite how to move forward, how to put your particular talents into their particular lane to promote as a group. Yeah, it's just very...
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've seen a lot of people who are frustrated, but honestly, like, I don't know that I'm that frustrated. You know, in the scheme of things, I'm not blind to everything that's occurred, like in New Hampshire, and how much progress we've made over the years, especially the last couple of years. I don't know. I mean, like look at New Hampshire, right? Like at independence, we wouldn't have had a chance in hell just a couple years ago. And now it actually came to a vote. Now, look, we don't have the numbers to declare independence, maybe, but that's still huge progress. Imagine what's going to be, you know, what's going to be the case in another couple of years, and then a couple of years after that. I mean, we're slowly getting there, even if the progress is slow within the context of, you know, our lifetime. But
it's always slow. That's just how politics is.
Right, exactly. If you look at, like, the Free State Project, right, which everybody's sort of crediting with, to some degree, or at least the people, with, you know, independence, if you look at it, that started a decade ago, but more than a decade ago, but it's grown so substantially since then, and it kind of got off to a slow start, but it's happened, and we just kind of have to, you know, keep going, keep heading in the right direction. And, you know, the main thing I wanted to say about that is the whole idea was in our lifetime. Are people forgetting, the people who are frustrated, are they forgetting about in our lifetime part of that? You know, it's like...
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. And that's why I very much focus, that's why I differentiate between the word faith and the word hope. I don't have a lot of faith, but I have hope. Every day I wake up and I have hope. And I have a daughter, and so I'm definitely, you know, she's at the forefront of everything I do, right? Because, yeah, this, I know maybe I won't see it in my lifetime, but I certainly, I mean, yeah. I see things that
it
are
does,
positive.
It does depend on how old you are.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I mean, hopefully I'll live to, you know, 85, 90, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff, I think will happen in my lifetime. But I'm not in my 60s. You know, I'm not in my 60s. I'm just getting into my 40s. So there's another, yeah, you know, there's still another 30 years hopefully before I pass away at least. So I feel like there's a decent chance I'll actually see some of this, you know, unfold as was envisioned, you know, in the beginning of like the Free State Project before it was like even. Before New Hampshire was even picked as a state.
But see, one of the things that I would love to see in my lifetime, if I could just see the actual act manifested of people understanding they don't need permission. They never have, right? So as I live here in Brazil, what I would love to see is just even if São Paulo, which has the strongest movement, but if São Paulo itself, or maybe São Paulo through this Constituição Libertadora, maybe in the next decade or so, could team with Minas Gerais, I don't know, and just literally do it. Just declare it. Yep. Just like we did. You know,
you're talking
say,
to the you're talking to the choir here, I think, in terms of asking permission. We've been here, the three of us here, I believe, have been here, you know, a decade, and asking permission is definitely not our strong suit as far as, you know, government is concerned.
I don't mean to say that necessarily the movements. I understand you're going through logical channels, which is what the South did. Okay.
Well, not every, and the other thing is not every, you're not going to win every fight anyway. No. So it's, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And you just hopefully, you know, you strategize as best you can. And hopefully in the end, you make progress. Even if you don't win the war, hopefully you make progress, right?
But when I say asking for permission, I would say 99% of people right now think we have to ask for permission. We're rare exceptions, okay? We're not the majority in any movement. So what I would like to see is I would like to see at least 51% understand we don't need to ask for permission.
Yeah, and we've talked about how to respond to that, and I think one of the good responses is, oh, so you align with the king then, the king of England? That's kind of the response, because effectively the United States is illegal until...
Exactly.
Right.
Right, but here's the funny thing. You can literally, this is the quality or the lack of quality of people we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are so stupid. It's beyond me, right?
I want to say it's not usually a good idea to call the people voting for you stupid, or the people that you want to support you stupid. We seem to have this problem of that happening, and all I'm thinking in the back of my head is that's probably not a good thing to do.
No, okay, I understand what you're saying. However, here's the point. There's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Many people are ignorant. I'm ignorant of a million things. But the vast majority of people, it seems, they go from ignorance to stupidity because they choose to do it. The difference between ignorance and stupidity is if you're ignorant and someone shows you the evidence and you make a correction and you grow, you're choosing to do that. But if you ignore it, you're choosing to be stupid. It's a conscious thing out of fear, if nothing else. It's fear. They choose to be stupid because they're cowards and they're hypocrites. That's the problem. And so it gets very frustrating to try to even have a discussion with people who literally will not, they will negate any evidence you put in front of them because it scares them. How do you deal with that? I mean, you literally just have to walk away at that point.
I'm not
a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
I have to say, I'm not a big fan of trying to convince people. I don't necessarily think that works really, or is that effective. My thought on it is like, you know, when it comes to like liberty, I don't try to convince people of liberty. You know, either you're a pro liberty person or you're not. I might try and convince you to move like to New Hampshire, or give you the idea of moving, like as an example, and hope that you do. But you gotta want it yourself ultimately. And then, like, you know, as far as like success or strategy, as far as like how do you change New Hampshire, it's not about convincing, you know, people, you know, of liberty. I mean, New Hampshire, you know, people in New Hampshire are already more leaning in that direction anyway, but it's not about changing people's minds. I think it's more about throwing up more politicians or more candidates than the opposing side, because most of the people voting don't know who they're voting for anyway. So it's just, you know, luck more or less. But the way you can influence, you know, whether or not you get lucky is by throwing up more candidates. And I think that's the biggest thing that has, you know, impacted, and the reason why we've been so successful is because we've got more people being active and doing stuff, and part of doing stuff in many cases is running for office. And if you have enough people running for office, you'll end up with more reps, and if you have more reps, then you have more control. Sure.
On the local level, for sure. Yeah. That's true. Which kind of is why, from my perspective, something like my project is a good way to help get regular people more engaged. That's the difficulty I'm trying to overcome, is how to get it out there to get people engaged. But that's the trick.
It is a challenge. Well, at this for an hour. Anybody else want to cover a thing?
Hey, yeah, can you let me know what the dates are for the Republican thing? Just I want to make sure I have the right thing on my calendar, and then I'll try and talk to Bob again about it.
Hang on, I've got a image of the thing here. It says Saturday, 23rd. Looks like it's just a 1-day thing. So Saturday, April 23rd, at Wyndham High School. So that's a bit of a drive from Keene.
Is there a time on that?
That's what's confusing. So apparently there's two times listed here. One of them is 9 a.m. For a annual meeting credentialing, and that is for state committee members only. And then there is a 12 p.m. NHRSC, which I presume stands for New Hampshire Republican State Convention or Committee, maybe, delegates only and nominees at noon. So I'm not sure if – I think he's just a delegate, so I think he needs to be there by noon, which will make it easier for Aria to attend, that's for sure. So
is that Wyndham High School? Or is Wyndham High School in Wyndham, New Hampshire?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So 2021-2022 annual meeting open to state committee members only, 9 a.m. 2022 NHRSC convention open to NHRSC delegates and nominees only at 12 p.m. So there is a phone number here for people with any questions. It might be good to give them a call just to clarify what the difference is between state committee. I think state committee is just like the executive council or whatever, the people who run the party. And then the delegates are the people who attend the convention and vote on the proposals from the state committee. But what I want to talk to is somebody who's been to, and maybe I should give Mike Sylvia a call. I sent Carla a message, but she hasn't replied. I only sent it just a few minutes ago. But maybe I'll give Mike Sylvia a ring and ask him, you know, what the process is like. Because I know that you can usually, at least, you know, I've been to the Libertarian Party conventions. And I'm pretty sure there's a way to make motions from the floor. So usually what will happen is there's like a platform committee. So the state committee will have their platform committee make suggestions for what the platform ought to say, what they should change, etc. And then they vote on those things from the floor. But there's probably also a way for someone, just some attendee, or maybe they require like more than one attendee to make the motion, like, you know, make the motion and one to second the motion. So we got at least two. We could probably make a motion from the floor to put in some sort of a plank to the party platform about independence. So that's something I should talk to Mike Sylvia about, just to make sure the process is a possibility. And if so, then that could be something that our attendees could work on the wording in advance and then just have it ready to pull out. And that could be pretty interesting, especially if it's being recorded. It'd be really interesting to get the responses on video.
Make sure you get it all.
So that's all I got for now. I'll look into that and we'll see if we can rally the troops to try to move that ball forward.
Alrighty.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan of action. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
Maybe I'll have the ability to get on again sometime. I'm waiting to hear. Matt said that he was going to have things settled down at the house and get in contact with me again. So hopefully, and I'll keep trying here, trying to, you know, move forward in support of this, directly or indirectly, the idea anyway. So, but thank you again. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Hope you have a great Sunday.
Thanks for coming on, guys.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Later.